Amen.
Yeah.
That was good. It's good testimonies, people sharing. Amen. Well, we're going to continue tonight. Last week, I'm sorry I teased you a little bit, but we're going to dive in a little deeper, if that's okay. We're going to talk about part two. We just did the intro, but we're going to talk about dealing with evil spirits. Now, we don't glorify the enemy. You know, we worship Jesus. We worship the Father. Love the Holy Ghost. So we're not, this isn't anything to get in fear of, but, excuse me, you know, we're obviously in, you know, football season and, you know, coming to the end of baseball season, and a lot of my clients are, that I work with, my secular job, they're called, what we call scouts. So I deal with like the Phoenix Suns and the Kansas City Royals and some other ball teams you probably know, and there's people that scouts, and what do? They go and they scout people, right? They need to, they know they're looking for talent, but they need to scout what are the other teams doing, right? You know, you ever watch, sometimes too, where they'll watch, other teams will watch old videos, or they'll watch things. What are they doing? They're finding out things against their opponent, right? What are they doing? They're trying to find weaknesses. So this isn't something we should be scared of. This is something that we should know our enemy, right? When we're little kids, we, you know, it's stranger danger. Remember that? You know? Okay, some of you are like, we don't talk like that anymore. That's old school. But, you know, back in the day, why? Because you see things of people. Even as young, as little kids, you see things that are out of order, right? You're looking for things that are strange, that are odd, that are, you know, not right. We as Christians, I would say most Christians have no idea, and I just think a lot of people are clueless to the spirit realm and what's going on. And sometimes we can know and see for sure whether it's, you know, us or it's the enemy working on us. Amen. We're going to talk about some telltale signs of how to deal with the enemy, how to recognize the enemy when it's at work in your life. Jesus dealt with demons. He dealt with, and these are, you know, demons aren't something to be scared of. It's something we have authority over. Amen. And it's just a roadblock that we need to move out of the way in our life to be able to successful with Jesus. And I remember, playing basketball when I was a kid, you know, you're on offense, which means you have the basketball, and what's the defense? They're in your face. They're all over you. That's the enemy. They're all over you, trying to distract you, trying to get you off track. That's all they're doing. They don't have any power, any authority over you unless you're not born again. If you're not saved, then they can eat your lunch all day long, right? Because they have, you know, many people in the world are just tossed to over here and over there, and they don't know why they're feeling this way or why they're thinking this way, and I'm just out of control. And but we need to know, obviously, who our enemy is. Again, many people are struggling with things in their life, and you may not know why. How many have had things in your life where you just think, I'm dealing with this thing, and it just keeps coming back, and I don't know why I keep dealing with this. I keep dealing with this. Other people, how many of us have been upset with someone, and you don't know why? Right? You just, all of a sudden, you just, no reason, you're just upset with people. How many have had negative thoughts about yourself or others? Right? How many have had thoughts that just keep coming back to you, like, I'm worthless, I'm not anything, I'm this, just negative self-talk? How many are, again, feel constantly bombarded with feelings of despair or hopelessness? Have you ever felt like that before? You know, you just feel hopeless. Am I ever going to, you know, just absolutely, totally negative. And how many felt compelled to do things and you don't know why? Right? I've talked to people before and they're just like, I don't even know why. I'm here. I'm doing these things. I'm, you know, all of a sudden I just don't know why, and I got a beer in my hand, or I've got this happening, or all of a sudden I do this and I feel guilty about it. Matthew chapter 8, verse 14. Oh, I've had first-hand experience with the demonic before, so all kinds of stuff. and he tries to intimidate, but it is a big joke, and he is lost. Matthew chapter 8, verse 14 says, "And when Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she rose and ministered unto them. And when the evening came, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and what he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick." Jesus did two things. Number one, he dealt with demonic spirits, and number two, he healed people. And like I said last week, often we're only praying for sick people, and we're not dealing with potential spirits involved here. So again, why Jesus constantly dealt with demons, and he also healed people. But again, we're seeing too many times that people are just being prayed for, and we're not dealing or being sensitive to something else that's involved. That's why it's important. I just preach all the time. It's important to be led by the Spirit, isn't it? It's be led by the Spirit. I'll come up to people sometimes, and whether I'm praying or I'll just be there, and all of a sudden they walk by, and I'm like, I know there's a spirit involved. Because on the inside, I get a sense, right? We're not looking for demons in our Cheerios, right? We're not. I mean, we're not looking for them in our Fruit Loops. We're not trying to find, you know, like some of the people are looking for Virgin Marys and the crucifix and in their pancakes and their waffles and sausages in the morning. We're not. That's not us. But what it means is we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit to know, okay, what's behind this? What's the real root cause of what's going on? And we need to be open to it. I remember, you know, we get into religious mindsets sometimes where, you know, we think that, I remember years ago, Adrian and I were living in Oskaloosa, and she wasn't feeling well. And I thought, well, I'm going to get Mark 11:22 and 23. I'm going to pray this. And, oh, I'm going to do, oh, I just went through everything, and I knew all the scriptures, and blah, blah, blah. And on the inside, I was like, anoint her with oil. No, I'm quoting the word. I'm just doing everything, and it didn't work. And on the inside, right when I anointed her, she was healed. Well, that's the part of being led by the Holy Spirit, is because again, we don't know what the answer is. Now, why did Jesus spit in mud and rub in people's eyes? Right? Maybe I should get a little patch, right? A little pocket of dirt over here, and I'll just. Every time I like to spit on it, rub on somebody, right? No, because that's what he was supposed to do at that time, right? Why did the Apostle Paul, that was sitting here, the woman of divination, she would, you know, she was obviously soothsayer and, you know, giving everybody all these, you know, demonic reading their palms and fortune telling and everything else too. He didn't know that, but one day there's a spirit on here. I'm going to deal with that and cast it out, right? It's about being led by the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Again, this is why we got to be strong in the power of his might. Guess what? You're not going to do anything to the devil or anything else, but guess who has the power of the devil? Jesus does. And he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to what? Stand against the wiles of the devil. What is he saying? The devil is going to come after you. Okay, but that's not a big deal. We can deal with him. But we need to be prepared for him. We need to be ready for when things come along. Again, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Here we go, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Guess what? Your problems in life and with people and everything else too is not flesh and blood. But against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let's stop right there. There is a force influencing you to do good, and there is a force influencing you to do bad. I like to think of it this way. We're all clean slates, and there is a warfare with us on a daily basis. That's why we have to be meditating the Word and think on these things, right? Whatever thing is pure, lovely, honest, of good report, what? Think on these things. Because why? Because the Lord knows that we're being bombarded continually with negativity, right? I mean, you go to the store and you deal with stuff. I mean, you're not even thinking about anything. You see somebody walk by, right? And you're like, put some clothes on, person. You know? It's like, come on, right? We don't all want to see everything, right? Thank you, but no thank you. Or somebody, the way they're talking, you can be out in public and, you know, blankety blank and blah, 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 blah. Or somebody at work, you know, I used to work in a factory and, you know, there's some interesting characters that I've worked over the years and some family members that are, yeah. So you may not, but guess what? We're in the world, but out of the world, right? So we're constantly being bombarded with TV and everything else too. I remember my friend, Lester Sumrall came to Gary Crowell's church. He's the dean of Rhema, and he's been here a couple of times. And I think he dedicated Emily, I think, or one of them. The kids were here, so. But he had Lester Sumrall come to his church years ago, and he said, Lester Sumrall was in, called him up. He said, "Well, how was your stay at the hotel room?" And he said, he said he walked up. I guess he turned the TV on, and they had adult movies and stuff apparently in this thing, and it flashed, and then he shut the TV off, went up to the front desk, and yelled at the guy and said, "I just turned my TV on and I saw an image that sent 10 men to hell right now. You need to get this up." So the point is this, we're dealing with everything. Even though we may not, the thing that is, the devil is going to come along to send the oopsies your way to get you off track. Even though it may not be your fault, it may be something else. But again, we're in this world, we're surrounded by hostility, right? We're surrounded by diseases. We're surrounded by immorality. We're surrounded by all of these things. But what can we do? We can put on the armor of God, right? The biggest mistake is to sit around and go, "I'm okay. Everything's wonderful. It's all great," and everything else too. You got to put a wall up. You've got to expect the enemy in our life, because guess what? He's coming. And it shouldn't be surprising. We're not scared about these things. But what it means is we got to have a mindset that whatever it is in our life, we're going to have the mindset that we're going to think on these things, whatever things are pure, lovely, and of good report. I remember years ago, I worked, and I was in an office with all women, and they were all like, "We're going to go out to eat, we'll ride with Brent." I'm like, "No, you're not." And you see that, they looked at me like I had a deer in the headlight. "No, you're not." Well, why? I don't ride in cars with women if my wife's not in the car, right? Why? Because it is an appearance of evil, right? Even though I may not be doing anything or anything else too, you don't want to give place to the devil, right? Right? That's right. So then I was the weirdo. Okay. Well, okay. And when my flesh really wanted to say is, "Babies, you ain't really that bad, that in a bag of Doritos, but, you know, I'm trying to be nice here, Christian and loving." And but I was a weirdo. No, what it is again, we're not giving place to the devil. Why? Because I'm foreseeing things. I'm looking. I'm seeing down the road. I'm looking. I'm thinking about how things can play out, right? So, verse 13, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand," right? So the evil will come, but guess what? We're going to be ready for it. And I always like to think of it this way. When the enemy comes, I like to make sure that he curses the day that he came knocking on my door. Right? I read this we were at Rhema, and I was in prayer school, and we watched an ex-Satanist who was born again. The guy's on fire and everything, and they went through rituals and everything, and they had put curses on a Christian, a spirit-filled Christian, because they were scared that this woman was going to expose him, start telling people about this cult and everything. So anyway, he said, they got over their seance and they're all just hanging out and everything, and all of a sudden there was an orange mist that came up in the corner, and this thing came up and just absolutely started going banana. Don't you ever send me after a spirit-filled Christian again. Amen. The enemy is scared to death of spirit-filled Christians. Why? Because we exercise our authority over them. Amen? Yep. And so, 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. Now I want to talk, while you're turning there, remember Ephesians chapter 6, what does it say? For we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. Your problem is not flesh and blood. Your problem is not wrestling against flesh and blood. There are spirits and entities that are influencing people that are coming against you often. I pray in the spirit sometimes, and I've seen things on people where I've seen it in the spirit, and I sense on the inside that there's a spiritual problem going on, right? And they're giving heed to something, and you know what? Some people like the devil. They like to fellowship, which is weird to me. I don't know. It's just bizarre. Some people like that depression. Some people like the attention. Sometimes like to feel that. 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2 says, now the Spirit speaks expressly, here we go, that in later times some shall depart from the faith, here we go, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. What is influencing these people to leave the church, to leave the faith? Right? Here we go, number 2. Verse 2, speaking lies and hypocrisy, here we go, and having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Conscience seared, in another place, in Romans chapter 1, verse 27, it says, void of judgment. So what are they saying here? The spirits are often involved in your thinking, right? There are things working on you. For example, I've seen so many people over the years that you talk to them about being filled with the Spirit, you talk to them about born again, and then especially the religious folks, you start talking about being filled with the Spirit with the evidence of praying in tongues. It's biblical. Jesus told us to do it in John and in the Gospels, right? And they're like, I just don't believe that stuff. And then you show them where Jesus said, I'm going to send a comforter, another comforter in my name, right? And then at the end of Mark, chapter 16, verses 16 through 20, it says you'll speak in new tongues, right? So Jesus is commanding people to do it. It's in the Word, but what are they saying? I just don't know if I can believe that or not. Well, that's religion. That's a mindset, a block that they've had for, sometimes there's a religious spirit involved, right? Because they hear the truth. What is it? Mark chapter 4, the fourth chapter of Mark, it talks about the soil types. And one of those soil types is the enemy comes when the word comes to steal it immediately. Yeah. So that tells me that there's a spiritual force involved with people not receiving the word, right? Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. I'm preaching pretty good. You're not amening enough, I'm telling you. I have fun up here by myself. Even if you don't have fun, I'm having fun. So again, the Spirit speaks itself expressly that in latter times some should depart from the faith. Now, we just think that some are just getting bored and everything else too. No, it says here, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. How does this come along? You know what? You're in church for a long time, and all of a sudden the devil comes along and says, you know what? You should have more than you do now. You know, you should be this and that and blah, 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 blah. And I don't think that stuff works anymore. Right? Or you know, the biggest lie is we've seen people, and there were couples in our church years ago. It was like they'd come, this guy all the time. What was his name? I can't remember his name all the time. He would come, and his face is my friend. Anyway, he would go, and him and his wife would be gone out of church for like 6 months, and then they'd come back, and he'd cry in front of everybody and repent, and which is good. But then they'd be in church for another 3 or 4 months, and then he'd get off and go drinking and get into sin, and then come back. I don't know why I did this. And he just have this big sorrowful. What happened was this is what's getting him to separate from the faith, is seducing spirits, right? oh, I'm getting bored. I got to go to church all the time, and I got to do this, and I got this better thing to do, and I got this other better thing to do. I'll tell you what, the devil will come up with plenty. I mean, we're busy with sports and things like that too, but you know, we want to make sure God's first, right? I mean, sports is fun, but some people worship it like crazy. I mean, it's just out of control for some people. But seducing spirits will come along and say, well, I'm this or that. And they'll give you every excuse in the book to do that. And what is it? It's soothing you away. It's pulling you away. It's pulling you away all the time. And then all of a sudden, boom, you're away from God. And, you know, the rest is history. So again, it's seducing spirits. Those are the things that are pulling you away, pulling you away. The enemy is going to do a couple things. If he sees you that you're born again and you're saved and he's not going to be able to get you, he's going to try to get you to be lukewarm, right? Yeah. So what happens is this, and I tell everybody all the time, I've told every time we have new Christians come in and they get born again and everything's exciting and growing, guess what I say? Guess what? Oh, it's, praise God, it's awesome. But guess what? The work's going to begin. Because this week, the old boyfriend's going to come back. Guess what? Your drinking buddy's going to come back. Guess what? The buddy, two doors down the road is going to show up with a bag of marijuana. It's all going to happen. Because why? I know most preachers don't talk like this, but guess what happened? When I rededicated myself, guess what? All the bands came calling me. All this stuff happened. All my drinking buddies called up. Blah, blah, blah. Smoke some weed. Let's do this. Blah, 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 blah. No, I made a decision, right? I looked and I saw, I don't want that garbage in my life at all. So what is it? The enemy is going to come along. That's part of this process. You get born again, you get saved. Mark chapter 4, you're all excited and the devil comes along to steal the word. It's a spirit that is working on you. He will send people magically to your house after you're born again. And you're all excited. And then again, like I said, the old boyfriend or the old girlfriend comes back. And then, you know, all your drug dealer comes back and the drinking buddies show up. And all of a sudden, then about 5 days into it, all your friends leave and then you start feeling lonely and you need friends again and blah, 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 blah. Oh, you don't like to hear that, huh? Matthew chapter 4. I'm going to be blunt about things, okay? Can I do that? Because, you know, this is the problem. Everybody talks about it. I'm in the church I was in, and it is, it's exciting when people get born again, and when they get saved and everything's like, yay! Like, that's the end. And I'm like, honey, that's the beginning, brother. that's where we need to roll the sleeves up, is when you say, thank you, Jesus, you're my Lord. And the enemy goes, huh? And then guess what? Every time you say no to the enemy, that's like brass knuckles in the nose to him. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus, oh, here we go, led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So the Lord is being tempted of the devil. Now I want to stop here for a minute that John the Baptist baptized Jesus, came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit came upon him. After that, what is it? Then Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Why did the Holy Spirit lead Jesus to the devil? Can I just say something? This is a reason why we can't be carnal. Right? You know, Abe and I spent time in New Orleans there during Mardi Gras, and I tell you what, we are in the epitome of Sodom and Gomorrah right there. I mean, it is, I don't want to talk about it, but I'm saying bad stuff happened, okay? Really bad stuff happened.
Right on the street.
Right on the street. And so, you know, when you're watching these things and I think I got hit on more than you did, it seems like. I got hit on by more guys than anything else down there. I was like, whoa, this is not tempting. This is like, I'm trying to stay focused. This is weird. But anyway, it was strange. But the point is, you know what? The Holy Spirit led us down there in the devil's backyard to do battle with the enemy. Right?
Yes.
Oh, we just want to stay in a little happy, safe place. Mm-mm. That's not it. See, and the cool thing about God is like, okay, the Holy Spirit's like, okay, Jesus, I want to take you into the devil's living room, and we're going to knock the devil's teeth down his throat. And really, this is about God showing up and Jesus showing up and saying, I'm in charge. You're not in charge anymore. Mm-hmm. There's a new boss in town, a new sheriff in town. I'm taking names, and you know what, right? Right, and I just say this: some people don't like to go on mission trips because there's no cable, TV, and air conditioning. Right, yeah. Right. I mean, come on. Sometimes, right? Verse 2: And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, after that he was hungry. Here we go. In verse 3: And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread." Now, this is one of the tricks in the lies of the enemy is this: for him to get you to doubt who you are. Are you really a Christian? Did you really get saved last night? I mean, come on, look at your past. Look at all of these things. Can you really be forgiven? Can you really live for him? Right? Here we go. But when he answered, he said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." What is he saying here? He's like, no, I'm not going to be tempted. But by the way, the word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, who's the word? Him. Mm-hmm. I'm the word, and I am the element. I am the end-all, be-all, which is the word, which is me, by the way. Ouch. To the devil. Verse 5, and then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on a pinnacle in the temple. And he said unto him, if you are the Son of God, again, what's he doing? He's continually trying to chip away at his identity. And guess what? That's what the enemy is going to do to you, is going to chip away at your identity, right? Yeah. Look, you looked at that, you must not be a Christian anymore. Look what you did. You are you sure you're really a Christian? Are you sure you're really that? And then he said, if you be the Son of God, cast down yourself. It is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning you, and in their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. What is he saying? It's written. He's presenting the word. He's saying, I'm presenting myself, which is over you, which is the real power. And then verse 7, it says, in verse 8, and again the devil took him up into a high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of it. And he said, all of these things will I give you if you will fall down and worship me. Here we go. Then Jesus said unto him, go, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him shall you serve. Then, where we go, and the devil left him. Behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, a few things here. If Jesus had to deal with demonic spirits tempting him, how do we think we're not going to have to deal with that?
Right.
You know? You ever think of that?
We're his kids.
And the enemy tried to get Jesus to question his destiny and calling. Do you think he's going to try to get you to question your destiny and calling and your righteousness? See, that's one thing the enemy fights so much is righteousness, is your position with God. Because he is defeated if you lock onto that and say no to him. Too many people are saying yes to the devil. We need to have more no's and zero yeses. Have you ever seen the movie, what's the new one out? The guy in prison? Nefarious. What's the line in there he goes, when we get more yeses than no's,
yeah,
then we're gradually getting you off, right?
Yeah.
And that's where the devil is. He's going to get more, if he can get more yeses than no's,
yeah,
he's got you.
Yes.
And we're weak and we're not standing up to this stuff, And when he comes, whatever that looks like, right? So the enemy is going to come several ways. Let's look at 1 John 2:16. Now, 1 John 2:16, here in John's epistle, he says something very interesting, and he explains just what we read. This is the outline that the devil took, is what John outlines in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. Are you bored yet?
No.
Okay, I just want to make sure, because I overstuffed the turkey, and... First John 2:16 says, "For this is the pattern that the devil used against Jesus." That I said, okay. First says, verse 16, it says, "For all that is in the world," here we go, "the lust of the flesh." What did he say?
Eat.
Eat, right? "The lust of the eyes," see all this out here, right? "Pride of life." These are the three things that the devil came to Jesus on that day after he was baptized, after the Holy Spirit came upon him. He went out, the Holy Spirit drove him, led him into the wilderness. These are the three things, right? The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. If the enemy can get you to say yes to these things over Jesus and over the Word, it's a pathway to destruction, isn't it? Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Next week, we'll probably go into familiar spirits and delve into Deuteronomy, and we're going to talk about Galatians. We're talking about this verse, Galatians chapter 5, but I'm also going to get into things Moses dealt with, Jesus dealt with. We're going to talk about, just different things and dive deeper into this, but it's good to have a foundation of these things. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 26. Now, this is amplified, and it says, "But I say, walk habitually in the Holy Spirit." Everybody say habitually.
Habitually.
"Seek him and be responsive to his guidance, and then you will certainly not carry out the desire of the sinful nature, which responds," here we go, "impulsively, without regret for God and his precepts." This is really good. "For the sinful nature has its desire, which is opposed to the Spirit." Now, where do you think that comes from? You just suck it out of your thumb, right? No, it's a spiritual warfare going on. We just read about that in Ephesians. We just read that. And this is a spiritual warfare going on. There's multiple times the Bible talks about there's spiritual warfare going on. And there is a spiritual warfare. We're going to go more into next week. But it says, again, verse 17, "For the sinful nature has its desire, which is opposed to the Spirit, and the desire of the Spirit opposes the sinful nature. For these two..." The sinful nature and the spirit are in direct opposition to each other, continually in conflict, so that you, as believers, do not always do whatever good things you want to, right? So we see here there's always this constant conflict. Always this constant conflict, right? Can I just say this? The more you say no to the enemy, the easier it is and the more you get stronger. The more you say yes to the enemy, the harder it is to put things down. It's like anything, when you're building a muscle or anything else too, the more you lift, the more you do things, the easier it is to do. Where is that here? Verse 18, "But if you are guided and led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the practices of the sinful nature are clearly evident. They are sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, total irresponsibility, lack of self-control, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, disputes, dissension, fractions that promote heresies, envy, drunkenness, riotous behavior, and other things like these. I warn you beforehand, just as I previously did, that those who practice such things, here we go, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Or we can say this. People who continually say yes to the enemy will not inherit the kingdom of God. And I will say, we call this the works of the flesh, which just means your natural, your flesh takes over. But I will say this, these are spirits that are actively involved. These are spirits that are coming against you. Right? They're just people that, I've been around people too, they just have fits of anger. There's one thing to be angry, but I've been around people that have just, there is something that comes on them and they just have an absolute anger problems, right? I've had to deal with that myself, right? You get so angry at times, you just want to take somebody and break them in half, And it's one of those things that it just comes on you and it consumes you. Well, that's a spirit. Yeah. It's a spirit that comes to try to get you over the top, right? Yeah. I remember, and just the Nefarious movie is very interesting. It's very enlightening. But I remember listening to, just right along those lines, they were interviewing this murderer, and he had committed this murder. And he says, right after he got done with the act, he said it was like something just left him. And he says, this is his words. This is probably 20 years ago that I watched this interview. He said, I felt like something left me there to take all the responsibility. Yeah. What is it? Yeah. You're saying yes to this. 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 You're saying yes to this, right? It just takes one thing, right? There have been times where, even when I was younger, I said yes to things, and all of a sudden I show up in places I shouldn't be, right? And then what happened? Then you say yes to one more thing, and 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 then it's like, why? Because the devil doesn't go, boogity boogity, I'm the devil, here I am, but he takes little bits along the way to get you to follow along, right? Hey, you want to go to this party? Hey, you want to take a ride with me? Hey, you want to go here? Hey, you want it? And then, boom. That's why it's so important to be, led by the Spirit. And obviously, bad company corrupts good manners, right? So that's why we definitely need to be around. Verse 22, here we go. But the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, these are the byproducts. These are the things. We're talking about good things now. The Holy Spirit, right? So what does it mean? When we look at people, we're going to see these attributes coming from people. What is it? First of all, the fruit of the Spirit, the result of His presence within us. I love the Amplified. Oh, buddy. I want to read that again. Verse 22. But the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, the result of His presence within us. What does that mean? We can't walk in these things without Him. And guess what? You can't do the other thing without the enemy. Mm-hmm. So it's either one or the other. But the fruit of the Spirit is the result of His presence within us. Is what? Love. Unselfish concern for others. That's not the enemy, is it? The enemy, let's just say this. All the enemy is what can I get from you? How can I use you to satisfy my lust or whatever I want from you? To fulfill some need that I have. What is the love of God? How can I bless you even if it costs me something? Right? Because this whole fruit of the Spirit, it's all about giving. Mm-hmm. When you love somebody, do they going to love you back? No. Doesn't necessarily. Let's just face it. John 3:16, God loved the world. The world didn't love Him back. Didn't love Him back at all. Unselfish concern for others, joy, inner peace. It's only going to get it from God. It's a spiritual attribute. You got to understand, This stuff going on in the world, this is a spiritual war going on. Our financial system is a mess since the Babylonian time. This is an ancient war. Our financial system, this whole garbage that's going on, you know, everybody laughs and thinks, oh, these are Satanists that have been in control of our world. They want to make slaves out of everybody. And what is it? It's a demonic, satanic agenda. It's been around since Babylonian times, right? Hedonistic. This is a spiritual war going on. Well, it is a politically blah, 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 blah. No, it has not, you know, whatever. I mean, if you really think that everything that we're dealing with is Republicans against Democrats, you're not awake. You're just not awake. Nothing to do with that. Right? It's the same animal, two heads. goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Here we go. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature together with its passions and appetites. Verse 25. If we claim to live by the Holy Spirit, we must also what? Walk by the Spirit with personal integrity, godly character, moral courage. I like that. Moral courage. You know what? It's so easy to go with the flow, you know? I mean, it's just so cool. I mean, it would just be so like me, just, you know, get together with my, you know, coworkers, go down, hang out at the sports bar, you know, have some drinks, make some more, you know, contacts, blah, 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 blah. In the natural, it seems like, yeah, it makes more contacts. I'll be doing this. I'll be doing this. I'll be doing this. Do you know how much criticism I've taken over the years because I won't go to those things? But you know what? I got this funny feeling on the inside that God's got a better plan, and he's going to open up more doors for me that are better than they can open. Right? Because God causes all things to work together for the good of what? Those who drink with their business partners. Hang out, right? Those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Did you know that there are blessings that are associated with godliness? You know, it's funny. I've been in rooms with people and talked to people who are CEOs of companies that we can all talk about, and I would say right now publicly, that have sat in front of Senate and Congress hearings and had themselves grilled left and right and have been removed in shame because from their position. Oh, they're making millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars, but at what cost? I just look at it, I'm like, ooh, that's for the because of the corruption they've been involved with. See, it seems real cute and everything. Everybody wants to be a CEO and everything, but what do you have to do to get there too? You know, if you don't start or own the company. Pretty painful. I was watching on C-SPAN. I've talked to that guy. I sat in the same room with it. Ouch. That's painful. And it's especially when you know somebody or you're familiar with somebody and they're getting grilled in front of Senate and congressional hearings. It doesn't look too appealing at that point, does it? So everything looks great on the outside, but I'm telling you what, there's a day, and the Bible talks about those things that we see. In fact, you can look it up. Psalm's second chapter, it goes through people who are wicked. They're trying to do evil things. It's going to come back to bottom, and we see that everything in the world, you know, it seems like people of the world have it all together, but they don't. I'm telling you right now, they may have cash on hand, and things may look good temporarily, but the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. And I believe there's a shift coming, but we're going to have to look out for the enemy. Amen?
Yes.
And it doesn't mean the devil comes along, boogity boogity, I'm the devil, but it could come into the form of discouragement, depression, right? Hopelessness. The Bible tells me to cast off the spirit of heaviness. What? And put on the garment of praise. What's that mean? There's a spirit that tries to attach yourself, and we need to take control over it, cast that thing off. That means we need to command it. We need to speak to those things in our life and say, you know what? I am not going to be discouraged today. You know what? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. We begin to quote the word. We begin to speak the blessings of God over our life and say, I don't care what my bank account says. And I really don't care whether, you know, I mean, if you're being lovely to people, just say, I don't care if this person likes me or not. I'm going to continue to care about them. But that does not place value on where I stand with Jesus. Because I love all of you, but it's kind of like I was listening to a person one time, and he said, it's almost like, you know, getting upset or being offended with people. It's like you drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. It doesn't make any sense. Why? Because it destroys you. It destroys you. That root of bitterness. And you look in Acts, you look at other places where people in the Bible had roots of bitterness in their life, and it was destructive. We see King Saul, right? We see Simon, the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8. We see different people. It was very destructive for them. But you know what? Freedom is in the Lord. Freedom is abiding in the Most High, walking after the Spirit, trusting in Him. Part of the flesh and the enemy is wanting to get you in the natural. Can I just say this before we leave here? One thing is this. If the devil can get you to focus in the natural, he has you beat. But once you step over into the supernatural, once you step over into the realm of the Holy Spirit like Jesus did, he is absolutely defeated. And if you're seeing things in your life that aren't moving, that aren't changing, maybe the problem is you've been too much in the natural, and that's where he can buffalo you. But once you step over into the supernatural and get into, say, I'm going to trust God, I'm going to get into the Word and pray and begin to change things in your life through faith and begin to speak the Word, things are going to change. Oh, I got to do something now? I have to apply this thing? There's no easy button? Call Staples back. Get the easy button. Amen. That's right. You say, little buddy. Amen. I'm with you. Father, we just come before you. We thank you tonight in the name of Jesus that we have victory over death, hell, and the grave. Amen. Hallelujah. According to Revelation, we thank you because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We have overcome tonight in the name of Jesus. Every devil, every offensive thing, every discouragement, anything that comes against us, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And we will not depart from the faith, like 1 Timothy says, because of seducing spirits and lying tongues. But Lord, we'll stick with the word, and we know, hallelujah, that you're going to lead us and guide us in all truth. And tonight, I just pray for everyone right now that there are blessings in the name of Jesus. Come, I speak business opportunities for people. I speak promotions. I speak finances into people's lives. I just speak tonight that evil demonic spirits that are trying to attack people, whether it's physically, whether it's emotionally, I speak that enemy of depression, enemy of discouragement is broken off of people tonight. I thank you that there is clarity of mind, articulation of speech, and boldness of spirit in people. I speak the spirit of hope over people tonight in the name of Jesus. No matter what the past has said, no matter what the enemy continues to speak, hallelujah, that your mercies are new every morning, Lord God, and we thank you that tomorrow and the next day is going to get better and better and better. And I speak tonight, the demonic spirits are broken off of people in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that there's clear vision in people's minds, Lord God, that you're speaking to their hearts and Holy Spirit. We thank you that there are ministering spirits going forth for the heirs of salvation and everyone in this room. We glorify you. We thank you that, Lord, that you said that you're in John chapter 14 and John chapter 16, that you would send the Holy Spirit, which is a helper, an advocate, a guide, an intercessor. Lord, Holy Ghost, we need your help to intercede for these people tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, we're going to get deeper next week. Have a great week, everybody.